Minnesota Court of Appeals is now in session. Judge Smith, Judge Hooten, Judge Frisch, the Honorable Tracy Smith presiding.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. Our first case this morning is A20-0778, Trevor Johnson versus Mathewitz Construction Company Respondent and PCI Roads LLC respondent. I understand from respondents' counsel that you will be splitting your time equally, which will give you 7.5 minutes for your arguments, each of you. Counsel for appellant, you have 15 minutes for your principal argument, 5 minutes for rebuttal. Each of you, when you start your argument, if you could please again state your name and the party you represent. And we are ready to go with appellant's counsel.
Thank you very much, Your Honor.
Oh, and let me just interrupt. I'm sorry. Stop the clock 1 second. And everyone mute if you're not speaking. That would keep it quieter during that for our recording and for each other. Okay, thanks. And go ahead. Thank you, Ms. Cavaco.
No problem. Thank you so much. Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Ava Marie Cavaco, and I represent the appellant, Trevor Johnson, in this matter. I am also here in the stead of his attorney, Mr. Andrew Davick. This matter before you today is about my client, Mr. Johnson, his ability to have his case heard by a jury of his peers, and how it was cut short by the district court's decision to grant summary judgment to the respondents. At all times material to this incident, Respondent PCI was a subcontractor of Respondent Mathewitz. Mathewitz was a construction company retained by the state of Minnesota to complete a project on Highway 14, which is located nearby about 500 feet from the batch plant and the motor vehicle accident at the crux of this case. On the evening of July 2nd, 2012, Mr. Johnson was riding his motorcycle on Lemons County Road 7 on his way to dinner. At the same time, Respondent PCI rented property adjacent to Lemon Road. They use this property to set up a batch plant, which is an area to mix batches of concrete on site to produce the concrete needed for the Highway 14 construction project nearby. Mr. Johnson testified that as he passed the batch plant on his way to dinner, he recalled slowing down to let a cement truck turn out of the respondent PCI's driveway. The cement truck had loose debris coming off of it and onto the road, but Mr. Johnson does not recall seeing the company name on a truck or who the truck belonged to.
Oh, he did not know that this was a truck that was under the control and direction of either the construction company or PCI Roads. Am I correct?
Your Honor, you're absolutely correct. He was asked several times in deposition, and he was not able to point out a color or say a construction name or anything like that. Just the fact that he did see a truck come out of that area at that time.
All right. Are you claiming that the accident occurred within a construction zone?
We're claiming that the facts that are presented in this case, that the area outside it as it stands is not a construction zone, but the batch plant is an essential part that was needed in between from the batch plant to the construction zone. And so these facts we are stating are their material issues of fact, and that's something that we'd like to see the jury decide.
All right. Now, the respondent has argued that you're basically asking for an expansion of the law in defining what the duty of care is. Is that what you're asking for? I mean, are you presenting to us a matter of first impression?
Not necessarily, Your Honor. We're not bringing a matter of first impression asking to extend. What we are asking is the opportunity to have this seen by a jury of our peers. We may not win, but the law in Anderson says that, the court, we don't have to prove that we would win on this fact. We just have to prove that it is an issue of fact in order to get to trial.
All right. Well, I just want to clarify, are you moving this court to expand the law? Or extend the law? Are you just saying that this is a factual matter that should have gone to the jury?
We are saying that it's a factual matter and hoping that, of course, our eventual hope is that they find that the area of the batch plant, the area around the batch plant, and leading up to the construction zone would all be essential parts of the construction zone. And I suppose in that way is a matter of first impression, but we do.
Well, then it would be a matter of law, wouldn't it? I mean, as to what the duty of a contractor is and what the contractor has to maintain as part of the construction.
That would be a matter of law, but we believe that how the area is defined is an issue of fact.
So, counsel, I appreciate your argument, and I actually do want to hear from respondents on this as well, because as I look at the Ferguson case, which is cited with approval in Williams, Ferguson talked about the construction zone.
Yes.
And in that case, the construction company was found responsible, even though the construction, I'm going to use the word construction site. In that case, the construction site was like a mile from the accident zone. But in that case, Highway 218 was used by the construction company to transport dirt, and it resulted in mud a mile from the construction site. And yes. and the court concluded the Court of Appeals affirming that, or maybe it was the Supreme Court actually back then. But in any event, the appellate court affirmed that, yes, that's within a construction zone. And Williams talked about it being within a construction zone. So as I read those cases, I think perhaps a construction zone can include the public road that's used by the construction company for purposes of engaging in their construction project. The concern in this case, I think, was either of the even accepting that to be true, and I want to hear from the other side, and I'm not speaking on behalf of anyone for myself in my reading of that case, those cases, but even if that's the case, whether the public road is in fact being used by the construction company seems to be important to determine whether it's within the construction zone. And in this case, why is there, if there is evidence on PCI side saying we simply did not use LeMond Road, and if Mathiewicz says we were not using LeMond Road at that time for any hauling, why is there a genuine issue of fact as to whether LeMond Road is actually in the construction zone at that time? How has your client created a genuine issue of material fact on that question?
Thank you for your question, Your Honor. And our argument is that the court did not give equal weight to the facts that were given in discovery. And so these facts that you pointed to, that that respondent Mathiewicz wasn't in the area on the day of, or swept on the day of the incident and stuff like that, was presented in deposition. And so we take that as true. But then also my client says in deposition that he saw a truck that was in the area at the date of incident and saw debris come onto the road. And so we feel that based on the district court's decision, they weighed the respondent's facts as true without presenting any real evidence that they did it beyond that they say so. And they say that we couldn't prove our facts because we have no other facts than because we said so. And so based on that—
But counsel, the evidence, as I understand it from your client, is that at some point in time, he saw a truck. He doesn't know whose truck it is. He doesn't know under whose control the truck was, and that the truck deposited something on the road, right? That's the evidence. Correct. That's a fair characterization of the evidence, right?
You are correct, Your Honor.
What is the evidence in the record that the gravel that was deposited on the road on which your client ostensibly which was the cause of the injury, can be attributed to either of these defendants? What's that link? What's that causal link?
That's a very good question, Your Honor. And our argument to that point is that evidence in every personal injury case will never be perfect. We're not always able to present the direct causal link, but our assertion is that there is enough evidence here presented by all of the parties that the jury or reasonable minds could infer connections or not.
But what is the evidence from which they can infer? I mean, we can't let the jury speculate as to how that gravel got onto the road or who deposited it there. So is there some other evidence that connects the deposit of the hazard on the road to either of these defendants?
Your Honor, I unfortunately do not have any more evidence beyond what was presented in deposition.
Okay.
And is there any dispute but that others had other entities besides PCI Roads had access to, well, tell me what the record shows about other entities or individuals' use about the site that was a batch plant for PCI Roads.
Absolutely, Your Honor. I believe that the written brief, which I didn't write it, but I read it and I looked over the discovery, and I think our written brief says that PCI was in exclusive control, and I'd like to address that. I believe that is an error. In deposition, I think that respondent PCI did say that they did rent the area and that other entities did have access to the area, but there was no evidence presented as to who and what they were for. But I do believe that they were not in exclusive control of the batch plant area.
Great, thank you for that clarification. I appreciate that.
Absolutely. So of all the written arguments that Mr. Johnson has submitted to the court, I would like to focus my argument to 2 points today. The first is that summary judgment is only appropriate when there's a genuine issue of material fact. And if based on the evidence presented, reasonable persons might reach different conclusions. Furthermore, a genuine issue of fact may exist, even if it appears unlikely that the opposing party will prevail at trial based on Anderson. Second, the trial court decided that Mr. Johnson's claim does not survive summary judgment because he could not prove the duty of care based on Williams v. Harris. The holding on Williams should not apply here. The facts of Johnson's case is distinguished by Williams, and more importantly, the maintenance of the immediate area, the area of the batch plant and outside the batch plant. And these are facts that we would like to see submitted to a jury. Lastly, I would like to acknowledge that there are two issues in the written arguments made in Mr. Johnson's brief. The first is relating to the respondent's duty to warn. On behalf of Mr. Johnson, we would like to acknowledge and concede to the respondent's points made on this issue in their response brief. We agree and confirm that this was an improper theory asserted at this point in the litigation under Thiel v. Stitch.
So what was your theory for liability, if not duty to warn? It was limited to, what is your theory of liability that was asserted at the district court other than failure to warn?
Failure to maintain the area, Your Honor.
Thank you.
And the second issue in our written brief is relating to our counter argument to the respondent's controlling argument citing Williams. Mr. Johnson's brief cited two cases, Ferguson v. Benson and Cummins v. Ratchner, which they're great cases to distinguish William from the current case. But the respondent's written argument is correct in that the use of these cases is a procedural misstep on our part. The cases were not used in Mr. Johnson's arguments at the district court level, and therefore we will be omitting them from my oral argument today, and I will continue on the material issues of fact. Let's see. So as I had mentioned earlier, in the present case, there are several facts surrounding the location and times material in this case presented. The respondents set forth in deposition that they did not have trucks running in the area on the date of incident. Mathewitz said they used the haul route on Lemons County Road 4 days before the accident, but that they also did not keep a log, handwritten or computer or otherwise, of cleaning performed. So they did not submit any evidence to support their claim beyond deposition. On the same token, Mr. Johnson also submits with no other evidence than deposition testimony that he saw a cement truck pull out of the area and that he saw it drop debris. Although we do acknowledge that he's unable to show that it belongs to the respondents. However, based on the facts that surround this incident, we believe that reasonable minds under Anderson could look at this differently and decide differently from the district court in Steele County. And so we ask that these would be presented to a jury, even if we are unable to prove that we could win on this point. And lastly, reasonable minds can come to different conclusions on the fact that Mathewitz and PCI had a duty to maintain the area, whether immediately around the batch plant, or the roadway between the construction zone and the batch plant. And these facts deserve to be heard in court. And for all the aforementioned reasons, we respectfully request this court to reverse the district court's decision on Mr. Johnson's case and allow the facts to be viewed, interrogated, and thoroughly vetted by a jury of his peers. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. And who will be up first for a respondent?
It will be, Your Honor.
Okay, Mr. Booth for Mathewitz. Okay, so we'll get 7.5 minutes on the clock for the marshal.
Good morning, and may it please the court. My name is Michael Burke, and I represent Respondent Mathewitz Construction Company. The respondents Mathewitz and PCI have agreed to divide their time equally. As the court is aware, this is an appeal from a very detailed order for summary judgment, which was granted in favor of respondents by the Honorable Karen Duncan of Steele County District Court.
Can I launch in with some questions, because I know you have a short amount of time. So Mathewitz, well, first of all, my question about the construction zone. It sounds like Mathewitz used LeMond Road at some point in time for hauling. And it sounds like the evidence shows that Mathewitz would sweep, including LeMond Road, when they used it for hauling. Is that right?
Your Honor, the phrase I believe in the record is that they would sweep when necessary.
Sweep what, though?
They would sweep the construction zone.
All right, what did that mean relative to LeMond Road? I'm trying to understand where LeMond Road, where your argument is with respect to the inclusion or exclusion of LeMond Road, if Mathewitz is in fact hauling on LeMond Road.
Certainly, Your Honor. With regard to the sweeping is on the new Highway 14 construction project itself.
Not on LeMond Road.
Correct. And to go back to Your Honor's question about the access to LeMond Road, the evidence in the record is that Mathewitz did not use LeMond Road for the 4 days prior to plaintiff losing control of his motorcycle, until that day. So there's no evidence that Mathewitz was using LeMond Road whatsoever in the many days before.
Okay, I'm trying to understand why. I understand that part of the argument. Now I'm just trying to understand how this case fits in with Ferguson and Williams. Williams, which favorably cited Ferguson as being a case within the construction zone. Isn't Mathewitz's position that even if it were hauling and dumping gravel all over LeMond Road, that would be outside of its construction zone and it would have no responsibility for that?
No, I don't think we're making that argument here, Your Honor. Certainly if there was something that was spilled on LeMond Road that Mathewitz had control over, I'm sure it would clean that. That would be a reasonable thing for it to do.
So my view would be it would fall within, if Mathewitz is using the road, LeMond Road, spills on it, doesn't clean it up, that seems to me like a Ferguson case where you could be within the construction zone. But Mathewitz's argument here is that we weren't using it. Right? We last used it 4 days earlier.
I think the hypothetical presented by the court would be similar to Ferguson. However, I think Williams is the controlling case here. And I think that appellants have conceded that Ferguson and the Cummings case are not applicable here.
Well, we deal with questions of law, though. And Williams does, it literally talks about Ferguson. You can read Williams and talks about Ferguson. I see them fully consistent. I mean, Williams is talking about a detour route for which the construction company just had simply no responsibility for.
Certainly,
they don't
Your
seem
Honor.
To me in conflict.
Certainly. And I would just note that the Ferguson decision, that's an appeal from a jury verdict, which is different procedurally than what we're dealing with here. The Williams decision is an appeal from a motion for summary judgment, which is more consistent with the procedural posture of this case. Moreover, the Ferguson decision focuses on a duty to warn, which is not argued or pled in this case here. So, and nor could it, for example, because the plaintiff, you know, when he, or the appellant in this case, when he was making his travel to dinner on that evening, actually saw gravel be deposited onto the road by an unknown truck. I would contest that he wouldn't need any warning of that because he testified that it was the same gravel that he saw on his way home.
That seems like a different defense, but can I ask you, what does the record tell us about Mathewitz's use of cement trucks, if anything, since that was the vehicle that was seen?
Certainly, Your Honor. It's silent on Mathewitz's use of cement trucks. However, it does say in the record that neither Mathewitz nor its subcontractors used the batch plant north of the project for several weeks prior to the accident. And moreover, as the court knows, Mathewitz had no haul routes north of Highway 14, you know, for 4 days prior to the accident. So all of these questions go directly to the duty argument, which is whether or not Mathewitz had a duty of care, owed a duty of care to the appellant here. And I would submit that the Williams decision, which says there's no duty of care outside of the construction zone, which appellants agree that the accident happened within the construction zone, the Williams decision is applicable here. And I would ask that the court affirm the district court's order on the duty of care issue. If I could just turn quickly to the second part, which is the no issue of material fact here. I think the court has read the briefings very thoroughly, and I think it's fairly clear that the appellant in this case is unable to identify the source of the gravel. He's unable to identify the trucks. And when pressed on this issue in deposition, appellant testified that he is guessing as when he's attributing, you know, this gravel to either Mathewitz or PCI. A guess is speculation. And if he can't attribute ownership to Mathewitz or PCI, or to anyone else for that matter, that's not enough to defeat summary judgment. So unless the court has any other questions, I would respectfully ask that the court affirm the district court's order and find that Mathewitz did not owe the appellant the duty of care and that there's no genuine issue of material fact.
I just want to follow up on some of Judge Smith's questions and just confirm what I think you're saying. And you're not, do you view this as a matter of law or as a factual matter and whether there's undisputed facts here? In other words, I'll ask the question another way. The appellant has indicated that the extent of the duty depends on the facts. Do you agree with that?
No, Your Honor, I think this is a strict application of law here. And as the error reviewing court, it's the court's task to review the district court's order.
A little bit left on the clock for Mr. Burke, is that right?
Yes, I think it's 26 seconds-ish.
Yeah, okay. All right, everyone ready to go? Here we go. Mr. Burke, go ahead.
Sure. Judge Hooten, we were just interrupted a little bit by a technical difficulty, but I think the court was getting to the question as to whether or not this is a duty issue or a question of law or a question of fact. And we'd submit that it's a question of law. Duty is a question of law. And we believe that the Honorable Karen Duncan decided that matter correctly when it's uncontested that the accident occurred within the construction zone. And applying that that concession, which is undisputed, that's a question of law for the court to decide the duty issue.
Okay, but the extent of the duty necessarily depends upon what the facts are in the case. Am I correct?
I mean, the facts are always going to inform how the case is going to turn out, certainly. But applying the facts in the case to the law, this is a duty question, which we believe was correctly decided. And I would just note for the court that it's our position that we would have the court decide the matter on both grounds, the duty issue and the question of material fact issue.
Okay, thank you.
Great, thank you. Counsel for PCI Roads. Go ahead.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, my name is Aaron Abiera. I'm here with appearing with co-counsel Paul Meyer. We represent respondent PCI Roads, LLC. I'll just jump right into your question, Judge Smith. I think that's a good question. And I can tell you that PCI Roads was not using Lemon Road for any of its concrete hauling operations throughout the entire project. In fact, PCI Roads demobilized its batch plant 3 weeks before a pellets accident.
So can you, I'm sorry, could you, I keep saying LeMond Road because I'm from Owatonna and I know it's pronounced LeMond. So I know we're having different pronunciations. So what did PCI use with respect to LeMond Road that never used LeMond Road? Is that what you're saying?
It did not use LeMond Road for any of its concrete hauling operations. So it would not have had a truck. When PCI Roads 3 weeks, let me back up. When PCI Roads was doing concrete hauling operations on the project, it utilized a private frontage road between the project itself and the former batch plant site. At no time did it use LeMond Road for any of its concrete hauling operations. And to further show that PCI Roads could not have caused the alleged gravel or debris that appellant encountered that night, PCI Roads had demobilized its batch plant 3 weeks prior to appellant's accident. It had no trucks on the project at all on the date of Pellet's accident, and it did not return to the project until 9 days following Appellant's accident. In fact, it only had concrete paving operations on the project on July 29th, which is over 3 weeks after Appellant's accident. Also, I'd like to address a couple of things Ms. Cavaco mentioned, that PCI Roads rented the property on the date of the accident. That's exactly correct. PCI Roads rented the property and along with other entities. So I think that point's been conceded and I won't weigh on it anymore, but I guess my point is that this was a rented property that was open to other contractors that may or may not have been associated with the project, as well as the fact that this was an unrestricted driveway, meaning the general public or any other truck or contractor or entity or individual could have accessed this property. And PCI Roads would not have any record of who would access this property because, well, PCI Roads wasn't there. PCI Roads wasn't the landowner. So I think that the duty that they were trying to suggest should be extended from the Olmanson case, as they've already conceded, is really moot at this point. I agree with Council Burke that summary judgment should be affirmed because there are no material facts in dispute and no legal duty exists for appellant to pursue its claim. They have talked about an extension of a duty, and I'm glad that everybody's been discussing that because that's exactly what they're asking the court to do here. The appellant's accident occurred on a public road, and Williams clearly states that that there was no duty of care owed to the general public on outside of the construction zone. That's exactly.
Do you think, is it your position then that Williams stands for the proposition that PCI could, if it wanted to, drive on a public road and just dump gravel all over and leave it without it being at any risk of liability? I think a public road under Ferguson becomes part of the construction zone if you're using it and dumping stuff on it.
I agree with you completely. And that's why the facts are really important. And the facts that we've established that are unrefuted in this matter are that PCI Roads was not using LeMond Road. PCI Roads was not, didn't use it for hauling batch concrete between the batch plant site and the project site. And it didn't use it, it wasn't on the project site on the date of the accident specifically.
I had a question about the, I understand that, because there's some dispute about the use by PCI, or at least dispute about by you about what appellant said. So in their briefing, I think what was seen was a cement truck. And I understand that there was not batch, like the work around batch work, whatever that entails, happening on the site at that time. But was there any traffic by cement trucks, whether or not you were, you know what I'm saying? I don't know what the work was on that date or right around that date that would relate to a cement truck hauling.
PCI Roads had no trucks on the project on the date of the accident. Again, the batch plant site and its access, I think it's exactly what you imagine, the drum cement truck, right? And the batch plant site is really just that. It's the batch, the concrete, and then they would take that concrete from the batch plant site, the former batch plant site, and use a private frontage road, not LeMond Avenue or LeMond Road, sorry, And they would move that to the project in various locations. This was a three-year project that spanned multiple miles on a project. So they would need this location to prepare the concrete. And when they returned in late July of 2012 to do the work that needed to be done with more concrete, they actually rented ready mix trucks. So they weren't even batching the concrete themselves or transporting it at that time. They were actually bringing it in. So this all happened in the demobilization of the batch plant happened because the majority of PCI Road's work was done in early June of 2012. So there's a 3-week difference between them moving their batch plant, but that's really significant because they weren't working on the project on a regular basis. In fact, they didn't return to the project. I know I'm repeating myself, but they didn't return until 9 days after appellant's accident, and they weren't doing batch concrete work at that time. They were doing a different kind of work.
So didn't have trucks hauling?
No.
Anywhere?
Nope. No, not.
I see.
There's nothing in the record to support that PCI Roads had any trucks hauling at any time. And that's something else that they've, appellant has alluded to is that we have some sort of duty to prove a negative, right? If you weren't there, well, then who was? I don't know that PCI Roads, those facts aren't in the record. I don't think that PCI Roads has a duty to monitor a private property that it rents for a batch plant site, especially given the unrefuted fact that it was not on the project site for 3 weeks prior and for 9 days until, and it never reestablished a batch plant at this location, just so that is clear as well. And I agree with Council Burke, the unrefuted facts substantiate the district court's holding that there's a lack of evidence to support appellant's theory that either respondent was hauling gravel or cement on the date of the accident, which is what appellant claims he saw, and that this shows that neither respondent owed appellant a duty of care for the condition of the public road on July 2nd, 2012. Summary judgment should be affirmed. Thank you.
And counsel for appellant, you have 5 minutes for a rebuttal.
Thank you. Thank you, Your Honor. I'll just address 2 points. The first is that respondent PCI asserts that they did not use LeMond Road for the project at any time, and that they were not in the area 3 weeks before and 3 weeks after the incident. However, based on our discovery, I believe that does not show up in the record. And so, I don't know. These negative facts or facts, they all should be presented to a jury. We have a lot of circumstantial facts that we've presented, that the respondents have presented, that could go to a point in that reasonable persons would reach different conclusions based on what has happened here.
Just interrupting just for one moment. I see Judge Frisch, that you're unmuted, but we can't hear you. So, okay, go. So go ahead, counsel. I don't know what happened there.
That's Judge totally Frisch. Fine.
Okay.
Zoom woes.
Yes.
And second, respondent Mathewitz brings up the argument that even if it is decided that the accident surely did happen in a construction zone, then the Williams argument would apply and we would not, we would lose. But our point here is that a genuine issue of fact exists and that these facts deserve to be heard, even if it is unlikely that we would win on this fact and that respondents will win based on Williams. That could be true, but until then, we believe that a jury of our peers should be able to hear what has happened to Mr. Johnson and decide whether if there's enough evidence in the record to support a claim that respondents could be held to a duty or that there's a causal link or not. Thank you very much.
What are the disputed material issues of fact? What are they?
Absolutely. So our main argument is that the district court didn't weigh the facts equally. My client says that he saw a truck come out, wasn't able to identify it, but believes that it belongs to the respondent.
But what evidence do you have to support that belief? I guess you have to have some evidence.
Absolutely, Your Honor.
The belief.
The only evidence that my client has to present is that
we have both the respondents here in the area at the time that plant. What evidence do you have to be in that area and using that batch?
Sorry, counsel, and Judge Hooten's is a little bit frozen and delayed. So if you want to answer that question.
Okay, I'm sorry. I didn't hear everything she said, but I think she asked what evidence does our client have to present in order to prove. What I was saying was my client just has his lived experience that he drove past the area that Respondent PCI was renting at the time. And saw a truck come out and spill gravel. Just also the lived experience that he passes LeMond Road and Highway 14 because he lives nearby. So he goes through and that PCI trucks and Mathewitz trucks have been there. That is all we present. I'm not trying to invent facts, but I do assert that we have presented enough facts also in inclusive of the respondent, that reasonable persons could disagree with the way that the district court came down. And that even if we lose at trial, we have enough facts that a jury could weigh to find that they may have a duty or a causal link that eventual in my client's injury. Thank you.
Thank you, counsel. Thank you, everybody, for your arguments today. The case is submitted. We'll have a decision out in a statutory time period. Sorry for the technical glitches.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you, Your Honors.